a little bit of time, my family thought I was dealing drugs just because I couldn't elaborately describe or explain. That is not what I do. So yeah, I just want to do cool shit with cool people.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion, and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools, and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion, and purpose. Welcome to the program. My guest today is a quiet man, and some might say a dark horse. His name is Tega Diegbe, and he is the right-hand man, for want of a better word, to Dan Meredith, the owner of the internet group Coffee with Dan. And that group is the largest free entrepreneurial group in the UK on Facebook. Tega is the tech guy that makes it happen, and he's an introvert, and for as long as I've known him, he's happy to work behind the scenes. So I was delighted when he said yes to coming on the show, because I know there are lots of people out there who want to hear more about this wise man. But first, I have a discovery to share with you, and it's a free tool that you will find useful. So why do we do what we do? If you're a long-term listener to this podcast, you'll know that I'm exploring this question on a regular basis, and I want to know why we are driven to do the things that we do. And it's what I ask my guests at every opportunity. You know, what is it that keeps us moving forward in a chosen direction? Oh, and I have news for you. If you don't choose the direction that you are heading in a direction of no choice, which is just as much a choice as a choice. Clearly, for some people, life works. They move forward with ease and flow. It's almost magical. And I have to say, to some extent, my life is in a good place at the moment. Much of that is thanks to this podcast that is bringing all sorts of fantastic opportunities and things towards me. From my conversations and to some extent personal discovery, I recognise the importance of alignment with our true nature. Now, that is the compass or the diviner, the thing that is guiding us to explore our life purpose. Now, if our daily activity or life journey runs contrary to that compass in some way, then there's going to be pain and discomfort on the path. My sense of it is that the pain is there to push us back onto the right road. Now, we've all met people that are bloody miserable in the work that they do. See, when there is a mismatch between life path and reality, or vision and expectation, it takes a toll on our well-being. I'm sure we all react differently. For some it will be stress, and for others it will be depression, and it may even come out as anger. So there's an important point to being in alignment with who you are and who you want to be. In my case, it comes out as low-grade depression. Well, it has done in the last few years, and I wouldn't call it real depression. I would call it an absence of happiness. But I'm through that now. So how do you find your own path? Well, in reality, you probably know what that path is. It's just you can't see it, or maybe you don't want to recognize it. The good news is I've discovered the tools that will change that for you. Now, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I'm a podcast host, so I listen to podcasts. And the process of listening is part of my exercise routine. So if I'm running or I'm at the gym, I will have the earphones in and there'll be programs I'm listening to. Now, there are a couple of programs that inspire me. The Flywheel podcast by Victor Jimenez was one of my early favorites. And he was an early guest, and he's currently taking a break from podcasting and shows, which is a shame because I do like his shows. The Good Life Project with Jonathan Fields. Now, he has a fabulous New York accent and a gentle voice that I can just listen to all day. He is a yoga teacher and he runs retreats and so much more. He's been looking at the question of critical drivers for years, and he's been involved with positive psychology and various other practices. But he's been able to identify 10 key driving ideas or forms, and he's called them Sparky types, and created a website called sparkytype.com. And you can go to that website and you can do a test to find out who you are. The test is amazing. I am the advisor and the sage. My role and purpose is the coach, advisor and mentor. And this is so true. I do it everywhere I go. I am always looking to support people in their chosen direction. The sage is my ability to remember and capture information that I use to help people on their journey. And it's something I am doing constantly. Even this podcast lends itself to that process. Everyone that I know that has done this test so far has come up with results that fitted who they were. For me, it has settled my questions and I'm not going to fight this one ever again. Okay, so I've been so inspired by the Sparky type test that I'm compelled to tell you about it. So please do the test, find that positive affirmation in your life. And if you do the test, let us know about it because I'd love to know what you discovered about yourself. The details are on the website, but you can find it just from this. It's sparkytype.com. So let's get back to my guest, Tega Diekby. I've known Tega since about 2014. We were online friends in a couple of groups, and we've met both online and in person. And Tega doesn't say much, but when he does speak, he will be insightful and right on point. And that's why he's kind of known as the dark horse in some things. He just always seems to have the right words at the right time. On the podcast, we talk about this ability to see things clearly and how he brings that into his work. You know, he's a systems man, a digital marketer, and his superpower is helping entrepreneurs strategically monetize their business. In his own words, he's a chilled out dude, practicing stoic and fanatical learning. He lives in Newcastle upon Tyne with a menagerie of tech toys. He lives by the spice of life, whether that be running his business, helping entrepreneurs strategically monetize their business, or taking the field playing American football. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Tega Diekby. Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. And today I am delighted to have Tega Diekby with me today. Now, he is one of the dark horses of the industry. He is known by lots and lots of people, but no one knows anything about Tega today. And when I reached out and said, look, I'm looking for some podcast guests, Tega put his name down. And I thought, whoa, that's interesting. So I had to check in with him and say, did you really mean that? And he said, I don't say those things lightly. Because he is known as the person, the voice in the corner that always has the pearl of wisdom. So I'm really interested today to see what Tega's story is and where that's going to lead us. So Tega, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for welcoming me and thank you for that introduction. I hope other people will be able to like give such an insightful introduction than any other podcast that I appear on. No pressure to anyone else.
Well, as you may have guessed, what I do in this program, I put the full intro in the front after we've had our conversation. So, Tega, look, I have known you probably for about 3, maybe 4 years on and off.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I first met you in various online guises and various online places, and I've seen your rise into the man that you are while working behind the scenes in both EWD, Coffee with Dan and Espresso with Dan are both very large internet marketing groups that can be found on Facebook. So, Tega, tell me, what's the story? How did it happen for you?
When you say, what's my story, do you want the whole 9 yards or do you just want the
abridged version? What's the thing? How did you get to where you are now? Because obviously you've got to this place. I mean, did you set out to get here or was this by design or by accident?
To answer the question, was it by design or by accident? I'd like to think like it's an amalgamation of the two. It's not one. I didn't design the in 3 years, I'd be where I am right now, whereby I can say I'm looking at my vision board and I am exactly where I thought I would be. It's also an accident because you make choices, you make decisions, you say yes to some things, you say no to other things. You have no control over where that goes. What you do have control over is the effort that you put in to kind of realize the vision that you have for yourself. So by design, yes, in the sense that I knew I didn't want to be employed working for the man. Accidental because I knew I didn't want to work for the man, but I had no idea what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to leverage my skills and do cool things with cool people. And that's led me to where I am right now.
So obviously there'll be people listening to this podcast that don't know the kind of the area you work in. So can you just say what it is you do? Or is it a way of describing what you do?
Yeah, this question actually gets me all the time. And I'm trying to think of a good way to explain what I do. So to answer your question, I work with entrepreneurs and business owners, and I help them bring their ideas to life. Now that sounds really wishy-washy. So I make things happen. I take ideas from your head and I make it real. If it's able to be made real, I can make it real. If it's not, then we can figure out which bit of your plan or your idea is not achievable. Choose whether to discard that or amend that, and then I make it happen. That's the simplest way to describe it, I would say.
And predominantly, I mean, do you work for, I mean, I know that you work with Dan Meredith extensively. Is that your prominent, yeah, your main kind of work you work, or are you working with lots of entrepreneurs now?
I guess it's going to get up eventually. Over the last year, maybe 11 months, I've slowly been doing stuff for people behind the scenes. Like, so primarily I work with Dan. Dan and I are like business partners, so primarily that's where my focus is.
Yeah.
But there are 24 hours in the day. There are only so many times you can post in the Facebook group without losing your mind. So like I said, 11 months ago, I started doing other things. And there are other people who I help with different things, with things from podcasting to Facebook ads or digital advertising to systemizing businesses and helping them hire virtual team members. So there are people that I help. They're just, that side of what I do is not quite as public as the work that I do with Dan.
It is quite hard to kind of put a label on what you do, because I don't think anyone really understands kind of what it is. I mean, I I am pretty knowledgeable about this stuff, but even I would kind of go, well, what does that mean?
that's an apt description. Again, this is kind of why I want to start talking more, because as I said on the conversation whereby you asked if I was serious about being on the podcast, the conversations help, because when you talk to other people, when they ask you the questions, that then forces you to think about creative ways that you can explain what you do. Not creative in you fib what you do, but creative ways in communicating what you do to the point that someone can understand it. And I say that because I'm pretty sure for a little bit of time, my family thought I was dealing drugs just because I couldn't elaborately describe or explain. They know that I was doing stuff on the internet, and they know that stuff was making money, but that was all they knew.
Yeah.
And I can't really fault them for thinking I was dealing drugs. That's one of the things that prompted me to want to be a better communicator, because you can imagine the conversation, the dinner tables, like, yo, how's work going? How much kilograms have you sold? And it's like, no, that's not what I do. That is not what I do.
So,
yeah.
So what was the leading up to this? I mean, like, so what was your skill set that kind of got you into this industry?
I wouldn't say I had a skill set that got me into this industry. It was curiosity. Well, curiosity and a need. A few years ago, I was running a pretty small debt management company. Now, for clarification, debt management is not debt collection. Debt management is where we help people who are struggling with their financial obligations. We negotiate fair payment terms with their creditors so that the stress is taken off them and then they can better manage or service the debt that they have. So that's what I did. When my then business partner and I set up that business, we had a pool of people that we could reach out to who could use our help. So we got to the business to a pretty stable point quite quickly. And then when we got there, we figured out none of us knew how to do any marketing. Then I fell into the rabbit hole of, I wanted to learn how to market online. Mm. I must have veered off the course somewhere and fell down the rabbit hole of how to make money online. Mm. I was learning all of these things and learning all of these things, which took my focus away from the debt management company. As that took my focus away from the debt management company, the debt management business started going down because we're not really marketing it. If we're not marketing it, we can't grow it because we've run out of our initial pool of people that we had and we're serving as clients. So me being where I am now sprung from a need to learn how to market that company because I didn't know how to market that company and I wanted to do it on the internet.
Yeah.
I started learning how to do all that stuff and was that probably about 6 or 7 years ago now, here I am doing what I'm doing now with no debt management company anymore.
Well, you've got a lot of skills in there because, I mean, I know you already mentioned you do Facebook advertising, you do very strategic stuff as well. So it's quite a big range that you seem to have ended up with. Was this all with a view to keeping yourself behind the scenes rather than in front of the scenes? Because, you know, this conversation today is putting you out in front. You stayed at the back behind the big player.
Yeah. To some degree, you could say I've engineered things to the point whereby I didn't want to be the face because of stories I was telling myself. Now, whether the stories are true or untrue, it doesn't really matter. I've come to a point in my life, I suppose right now anyway, whereby I realize I'm not so much cheating people, I'm more cheating myself because in engineering things to be behind the scenes, I've ended up amassing a wide range of skills, a wide range of knowledge. It's just in my head. There's no way for me to get it out. I need to do more to get it out of my head, to create space for me to do more things because where I am right now, I feel stuck. Not in a bad way because things are good, but I do feel stuck in that. There's not much that I feel that I can do just because there are so many things in my head that I haven't gotten out of my head. So
if you're reliant on other people to be the vehicle for those things, you're going to have to wait for someone to come along with the right ideas for you to explore it, unless you're going to do it yourself.
You just hit the nail on the head. That's what when I say stuck, that's what I'm trying to portray. So it's not really being stuck. It's a case of there's all this knowledge that I hold in my head, but there's no application. Knowledge, for me anyway, knowledge, you can have the knowledge, but if you don't have the true knowledge, I'm doing air quotes because you guys will not see me. If you don't have the true knowledge, and true knowledge, in my opinion, is the knowledge that you get from execution and application of theoretical knowledge. So if you don't have that, do you really know anything?
Or you can't test it, can you? Until you can put it out there with something, you can't test it.
I wouldn't say testing. I wouldn't say testing because testing is execution.
Okay. You can't use it unless you've got somewhere, unless it's out there being used, you're not using it.
Precisely. And that's the conundrum that I've been trying to get over the last, it's like maybe 5 or 6 months.
Hmm.
It's like an internal battle that's been going on in looking at all the knowledge that I've gained. Again, I'm using knowledge quite liberally here because I just said true knowledge is whenever your theoretical knowledge meets your experiential knowledge. So right now it's all theory in my head. I think I know how to do this, but there's been no reason or there's been no instance whereby I actually put that idea that I think I know how to do to the test, and I want to do more of that, which is why on the podcast talking about it now, which is why there are going to be a few things I'm going to be doing in the coming weeks that people will see. And the idea behind that is just doing stuff for the sake of doing stuff. I'm not doing it to get clients. I'm not doing it to make money. I'm doing it just to say, can I do this, yes or no, and have that black or white answer? Because I feel when I have that, then I can move on to something else, or I can dive deeper if I so choose to figure out why I couldn't do it at that time. What did I do wrong? What did I do right? And all that self-analytical stuff.
So what's your driver then, Tegan? What are you passionate about?
That's another question that gets me. that's another question that gets me.
Let me reframe it for you. Where is it that you can lose time without realizing how much time has passed?
I get what you're trying to do, but that doesn't make it easier, because everything that I do, I can lose time doing it. The question for me then becomes, is the time lost? One, look at it in two ways. Is the time lost pleasurable in the sense that you might be struggling to get over a roadblock? For example, going to the gym, trying to lose weight or get in better shape. Whenever you first go into the gym and you start lifting the weights or you start running, you're not very good. You're unfit. You run for 2 seconds and you're out of breath and you're like, geez, I think I've been running for 2 hours. But you look down at the clock, it's only been 20 seconds. So there's that side of things. And the other side of things is, do you just do stuff and as, I think people call it flow state. And as you do stuff, time is going by so quickly, you look up, you're like, oh my goodness, it's 1 o'clock. It was 1 o'clock when I started doing this. I've looked up now and it's 10 o'clock. I've forgotten to eat. I haven't gone to the toilet. I haven't drunk any water today.
Yeah.
In terms of the, like you talked earlier on about designing my life, so the things for me anyway, I was more behind the scenes. Everything that I do, I lose time to. I could get up right now. I could start ironing my laundry in the next room and I would lose time to that because for me, that's therapeutic. It takes me away from the screen. It adds variety to my day. When it comes to what I'm passionate about, I would say I'm passionate about learning stuff, and learning stuff and doing stuff, but not for the sake of it, just for the experience of it. I think there's a difference between learning and doing stuff for the sake of it, and there's a difference between learning and doing stuff for the experience of it, because I'm very, very experience driven. I have material things, but I attach no worth to them. Where I attach value is in experience, and it's because of my attachment to experience that I feel I'm able to say things and people think like what I say is wise because I've experienced it and I can speak from experience.
But you do have an innate sense of wisdom, Tegan, because I mean, I remember being at the mastermind in last year
in Brighton,
and I've spoken about that mastermind a couple of times on this podcast, and I've had a couple of mastermind guests on here as it goes. But you know, I can remember being in the room there, and you know, Dan talking about other people doing something, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes your voice in the corner, and it's like everyone's gone da 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 da, and you've gone straight to the point, absolutely straight, like laser focused. You know, and Dan's gone, oh, blah, 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 as Dan would normally say, oh, the sage in the bloody corner again. Not, admittedly, he doesn't use such nice language as I just used. But, you know, where does that come from? Because that to me is your passion, is that you have that capacity to go.
I think it's an ability to listen.
Yeah.
But going deeper than listening, it's an ability to understand from whoever's speaking point of view what they're trying to achieve. If you understand what you're trying to achieve because you've listened to them, then you can cut out all the noise and go, well, if this is what you're trying to achieve, instead of exploring all of these complex ways for you to achieve what you want to achieve, why not just narrow it down to one thing or a series of things that will get you that result, probably a lot faster than all the complex things that you're considering.
That's a very clear analytical process.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. Again, because of experience.
Yeah.
There's been times whenever there will be life problems and business problems that I have, or I've gone through, and I have experience of solving, and there will be those problems that I don't have experience of solving. Again, this is where like your practical and theoretical knowledge comes in. So when it comes to helping people, you also notice I don't tend to speak when I don't know the answer to stuff. And if I don't know the answer to stuff, I'll tell you, I don't know the answer to stuff. And the reason I don't know the answer is because I either haven't done it or I have no experience of it. So when I listen when I speak, what I like to do is I like to put myself in someone else's shoes and go, well, if I was in their shoes, knowing everything that I know and experiencing everything that I've experienced, how would I solve this problem? I guess that's where the analytical side of things are. Everybody says it sounds wise, but to me, it doesn't sound wise because, I don't know, maybe because I don't value what I say, but it doesn't sound wise because it's almost like I can see a path that I feel you should take, but you're sitting there still looking at the map, exploring all the other paths, when it will be quicker for you just to take a path and get somewhere. And then assess where you are from where you were to then see how to drive yourself forward. Does that make sense? Or am I just...
No, it does make sense. It does make sense. And I suspect the reason why you're seen as wise is because you don't say a lot.
True.
When you do speak, what you say is of value.
I have a gripe with that word value. I have a gripe with the word value.
Do you want to say
the reason? No. The reason I have a gripe with the word value is in the circles that we run in, the professional circles that we run in, there is this notion that you have to give people value for them to find you valuable. What people don't take into account is the fact that value is a very, very subjective term.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. I have this pair of sunglasses which nobody can see.
Yeah.
Right? This pair of sunglasses, they're blue blocker sunglasses. Using them allows me to sleep better. Right? Would you say that the value of these sunglasses is tied to the fact that they look cool? Or is it tied to the end result that they get me in helping me sleep better, which then makes me more productive the following day?
That would depend on the circumstances.
Okay.
If you're being photographed outside a posh nightclub and wearing those things, then maybe it might make you look cool.
Okay. So you're now kind of hitting on the point I'm trying to make in the fact that context is important.
Yes.
But when the people in our professional circle use the word value, it lacks the proper context. And because it lacks the proper context, there are a lot of people out there right now in the world doing things that they think are valuable, but they don't carry any real value in the marketplace or to anybody. It's not something that's tangible. So instead of value, I like to say useful. You might argue that it's semantics, but it makes sense to me because when something is useful, context is not important. You know that it's useful. Have I got use for this? Yes or no? No, yeah. It's not useful. Yeah. Yes, it's useful. Yeah. So whenever it comes to...
In the context of the environment I experienced it in, I think it was value.
Okay, cool. that's cool. We've got that clear. But again, that's, like I said, that's a personal gripe. It's a personal gripe. Anytime somebody says value to anything that I do, I just shudder.
But I guess that's the industry we're in, because I mean there is a lot of bullshit in the industry we're in, and a lot of the words that are that did have real meaning once upon a time have been worn out by their misuse. So I really understand where you're coming from.
That's fine. That's going to happen. It's like, for example, let's take Gary Vee. There seems to be like a hate train going on for Gary Vee at the minute because he is leveraging his name and his brand in a way that people don't agree with. So it's easy for people to hate on him, but that doesn't take away from the message that he has. Right. I bring that up to say, I kind of forgot why I brought it up. Why did I bring up we're talking about value? Okay. I brought it up because when Gary Vee wasn't famous, or not as famous as he is right now, it seemed like everybody loved Gary Vee and everybody was listening to Gary Vee, right? But now that Gary Vee is seemingly everywhere just because of how algorithms work these days, it's easy for people to hate him. Well, to hate him again, in air quotes, because he is everywhere. In a way, he's become a victim of his success.
Well, he's also commercializing that success enormously. And from what I understand, from some of the stuff I'm reading, the commercialization of that is not always in the best interest of the individuals that are doing it. You know, it's in the individuals of Gary Vee and the people he's commercializing for. People are turning up to events, and some of these events are very much like credit card events, people selling stuff. And they wouldn't have been there without Gary Vee being there as such. So I can understand where it's coming from.
That becomes, in my rather limited opinion, that becomes a question of values and ethics.
Yes. Well, that's what it is. It's about ethics. It's about when you have that level of reach and pull, how do you use it? And I think that's what people are starting to recognize or criticize him for.
No, but that's a fair point.
But he wants to buy a football team. So he's got to make the money somehow.
And that's the flip side of the coin. We're in a capitalist society, and you can question someone's ethics.
Yeah.
You can't question their right to make money. You can't question their right to do what they feel with all the hard work that they've put in for however many years Gary Vee's been doing what he's been doing.
You
can't question that. But that's a conversation that people aren't willing to have. You can question the ethics, all well and good, but in kind of like the microwave society that we live, whereby everybody wants like that instant dopamine hit, it's easier to write a negative article berating Gary Vee rather than talking about the deep-seated issue, which is that of ethics. It's like, you've done the hard work. How are you going to use that and leverage that ethically?
Because you've already touched on it, haven't you? The reason people are doing this is because Gary Vee will sell their article for them.
Precisely.
And you say ethics is important, and people don't talk about ethics anywhere near enough.
Yeah. There's a lot of things people should talk about that they don't talk about.
But you do bring an interesting point up about Gary Vee, because Gary Vee is one of these. Gary Vee is the kind of poster boy of success within our industry, within the digital marketing industry as such. And like Elon Musk is probably the poster boy of success within the engineering industry, because this is the man that wants to go to Mars as such. So these guys got massive drivers for them, and I'm not quite sure what drives Gary Vee, other than owning a football club or the American Football Club. Obviously, Elon wants to get to Mars for some reason. But, you know, it's like, what is it about drive? What is the driver for you?
I just want to do cool shit with cool people.
Okay.
In the most basic terms, I just want to do cool shit with cool people.
You have to say more cool shit is, because that's kind of like quite a broad church.
Yeah, but do I have to?
No, I don't have to.
Okay, so...
But some examples might be nice.
Let me simplify it. I want to, at the end of my life, I want to be able to make more statements of, remember when I did this, that was cool, rather than, I wish I did this, that, or the other. Right? That is the simple, basic litmus test for anything that I do. Right, that is it. In essence, that is it. I play American football. People ask me, why do you play American football? I woke up one day and I went to try to play American football because I was playing Madden. And it's like, I wonder if I'll be any good at this in real life. Tried it out. Turns out I was okay at it, and I've been playing. Whenever I stop playing American football, there's going to be something else that I want to do. And because I've gone through the process of trying stuff, failing, but continuing to go, there's going to be things I want to do. I'm just going to try it. When I try and fail, it becomes that self-assessment scenario of, did I do everything I could?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So maybe this wasn't for me. Did I do everything I could? No. What could I do better? Figure that out and try again. And that to me anyway, that's life in general. That is life in general. It's about doing the things that you want to do, doing the things that make you happy without attachment to what anybody else might think. Earlier on, we talked about Gary Vee and we talked about Elon Musk. They're just doing what they want to do, right? They're doing what they want to do. And everybody who looks up to them, again, this is my opinion. Everybody who looks up to them, you're not looking up to them because they're doing, well, in a way, you're looking up to them because they're doing what they want to do. and you're looking up to them because you wish you could do what you want to do to the level that they're doing what they want to do. Where things get all muddy is whenever people's aspirations and people's emotions get involved. Like we're talking about, people don't talk about the ethics. I think Gary Vee is cool. Gary Vee has a message. We can all choose to whether we want to listen to his message or not. He's still going to do what he's going to do.
You've met him personally, haven't you?
Yeah. I spent 5 minutes talking with him. Like, really, okay. Really interesting guy.
Yeah.
Really, really, really interesting guy. But I said all of that to say that whenever it comes to drive, it has to come from within. It can't be externally influenced. Because if it's externally influenced, again, I'm speaking from experience here, because I've done some things I thought I wanted to do, but when I sat down to reflect on it, it's not something I wanted to do. I just thought it would be cool to do because someone told me it was cool to do.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes to drive, it has to come from you. You have to have an idea what you want for yourself or what you want for your life to get all wishy-washy, and then have the courage to actually go and chase that. And knowing that as you're chasing that, there are going to be people that will be for you. There will be people that will be against you. Like they say, it's like Marma. You either like it or you don't. So you have to know that that's a part of life and just go do what you're going to do regardless.
So this is the success question. That is a kind of guided, a kind of disguised success question, really. Like, what is success for you, to put it into actual words? Because, you know, we were sold the dream about success, meant, you know, the car, the house, the family, the retirement. That was what it used to be when I grew up.
Right.
And that has now moved on. So success now can be anything for people. What is it for you?
For me, success is being able to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, with whomever I want to do it, while maintaining a good relationship with my friends and family.
That's nice and clear. And succinct.
But it goes back to like the whole thing on drive, how that has to come from within you.
Yeah.
We are sold all of these things by society, by marketing. We're told that this is what we want, or this is what you want, this is what you want, this is what you want. Very few people, again, in my opinion, actually ever sit down to think, well, do I really want that? Because you're telling me I want it. Just because you're telling me I want it doesn't mean I'm going to go out and try and get it. Do I really want that? Because for me to chase what you're telling me I want, let's say it takes me 20, 30 years to chase that. What happens when I get to the end of that? That's basically that's my life done, because I've just been chasing this thing for 20 or 30 years without really thinking, am I going to get any benefit from this? Instead of thinking, am I going to get any benefit from this? You just blindly chase what someone else is telling you you want.
But that's what people used to do, Taker. And we're now breaking that cycle.
I wouldn't say we're breaking the cycle. I would say the number of outliers is increasing, primarily fueled by the internet and the access to information that people have. Because I imagine, whenever you were growing up and that's what was being sold, there was no way for you to actually go out and figure out what you wanted to do.
I'm a pre-internet child. You know, bear in mind, I went to work with a telephone and there was a typing pool when I first started to work. So, you know, it's like, I never had that thing. My only kind of careers advice was from my mother, which was get a job. Doesn't matter what job you did, just get a job and stick with it.
Yeah. That's actually quite interesting, because we say things are changing now. We say things are changing now and that was the only option you have. But if you think back, you had entrepreneurs and people that still started companies. They were outliers in that time. And because they were outliers, they went ahead and they did what they had to do. But that information, for some reason, was not flowing far and wide enough for Paul, wherever you grew up, for you to know that you could actually do whatever you wanted to do so long as it made you happy.
Absolutely. And I think part of that was the fact that it was, you had to meet someone, you had to have the luck of meeting the right person that gave you the inspiration to understand that. And if you didn't move in those circles, you didn't meet those people.
True.
And it was a time of less transportation, less traveling. I mean, most of my family lived quite close together at the time. Anyway, it's not about me, it's about you today.
They did not mean to turn the tables that way.
No. I'm very happy. I always share bits and pieces. I always share bits and pieces of this podcast. It's great. That's what's so fantastic about this medium is that it can be a two-way street, and I do enjoy that. So, Tega, success and kind of routines. So, do you have morning routines? Do you have processes that you use to keep you healthy and moving in the right direction?
I do, but I don't look at routines in the way everybody else looks at routines. Like, again, in my opinion, because I've tried the whole morning routine thing. Because there was an app, was it? I think it was Calm. I think it was Calm. Might be something else, but there was an app. Well, there is an app that allows you to download the morning routines of like famous entrepreneurs. You're talking guys like Tony Robbins, Tim Ferriss, I think Bill Gates is on there, and I think Warren Buffett is on there. And I went through a period whereby I tried to do all of those things, but again, it didn't hold any significance for me because it wasn't mine. And it wasn't until I ditched the idea that I had to have a morning routine according to what was laid out in a book or what was laid out in an app somewhere that I actually found my own morning routine. So to answer your question, my morning routine, I've been a bit lax lately. I don't know why. I think it's the change in seasons. But normally my morning routine is to get up at 7:30, 10 minutes of light moving, brush my teeth, make my bed, have my supplements, read a chapter of a book, and then do some work for the day. All in all, that said, takes me about an hour, depending on how quick I do stuff. Doing all of that takes me about an hour. Sometimes it takes more, sometimes it takes less. But that is my routine. And anytime there is a disturbance in the force, this is a bad habit, the whole air quotes thing. Anytime there's a disturbance.
It's fine, we're not using the video, but if you do more video, you might have to the air quotes thing.
Anytime that there is a disturbance in the force here being like my day-to-day and my routine, it's probably because I've strayed in some way, shape, or form from doing that. And realizing that, okay, things that, like, for example, yesterday, the day just went super, super quick. I didn't know what was going on. I was basically just reactive all day. Sit down at the end of the day to figure out why that was. There was no morning routine. I woke up and the first thing I did was open Facebook and start scrolling Facebook on my phone, which I try to never, ever do.
It is absolutely a disaster. If I touch social media before 8 o'clock, it screws my day up completely.
I have to make the conscious effort not to, so I don't want to say not to use it, but I make a conscious effort to have that not be the first thing that I do. Because the minute I do that, I kind of feel like I'm just sucked out of my essence and into this vortex of, right, go, go, go. Where are you going? You don't know. You just need to go. What are you doing? You don't know. You just need to do. So do all the things, go everywhere. And then at the end of the day, you're just sitting there exhausted and thinking, I got nothing significant done today. And whenever I sit down at the end of the day to kind of assess how the day went, it's like I can always point to that being the culprit, either looking at Facebook or not going through the routine, not giving myself to actually go through the routine. Because I believe it's not actually doing the things, but it's the mental state that puts you in that you're kind of, you're knocking things off a list and you're building momentum up to you actually sitting down to start to do work. And by the time you sit down, you already feel productive. So getting the work done and getting it out the way is a lot easier than whenever you don't do that and you try to start from a cold start, or you don't do that and you try to start after just scrolling through Facebook mindlessly for 35 minutes.
That sounds good. I started doing morning pages 17 days ago, and I've mentioned it on the podcast a couple of times now, so I keep mentioning it out here. So yes, I'm still doing my morning pages, and it's been interesting. Like, I now look forward to them. I hated it when I started. It's 3 pages of writing as soon as you get out of bed.
I've heard about it.
And then what I like about it is that there's no right or wrong way of doing it. So you can write down, this is total shit. And you kind of go, yeah, you can say that, but it doesn't matter because you can write shit on these pages because no one's ever going to read them. And I have arguments myself on the paper about what's valid and what's not valid. It's really fascinating now.
I imagine that's a good exercise for you to actually process the thoughts that you have.
Yeah, I find it brings the dreams out. My dreams come onto the page or things that happened yesterday that I didn't like, or I could have done that better yesterday. And oh yeah, could you? And it's like an argument develops with myself over it. And it's like the crap comes out onto the page. Anyway, look, I'm not selling morning pages, but I am. I'm just saying I'm up to day 17 and you commit to doing 30 days. And I thought, well, it's going to be tough every day, but. No, it's been good. It's been good. But I do agree with you. I think a morning routine sets you up for the day. Something which is definitely for you, not just like getting up and doing breakfast for the family. It's that it's doing something that is specifically yours. And that might be exercise. It might be something else. I mean, when the weather was warm, I was running in the mornings.
Cool.
And to come back having done 4 or 5K, you kind of go, yes, it's result.
Again, it's putting you in that mental state of actually having achieved something. It doesn't matter how big or small.
Yeah.
You feeling like you've achieved something then spurs you on to keep going on and just, for lack of better terms, attacking the day. Come whatever may, you are actually going to do the stuff. So that's why I like it. That's why I like it.
So what does the future hold for Tega? What do you want to be doing?
The mission stays the same, man. I want to do cool shit with cool people.
Yeah.
That is the mission. If I keep doing cool shit with cool people, I will be a happy man, a happy boy.
Do you see yourself putting yourself up front and center?
The way things are going, I see that happening. But for that to happen, it has to be in a way that I engineer and in a way that doesn't take away from what I feel are my strengths. Listening, analyzing, being rational before actually doing stuff. Some people might say, oh, you just need to do. I agree that you just need to do, but you don't want to be going 100 miles in the wrong direction, which is where listening and analyzing that helps at least point the ship in the right direction before you actually set off going somewhere. And you know that you're going, you may not be aiming for bullseye, but you're aiming in the general direction of where you want to be. So yeah, I see myself stepping up, but stepping up will have to be on my terms and in a way that does not take away from what I feel are my strengths.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds like a good answer for it. So if people who want to do some cool shit would like to get hold of you to do cool shit with, how would they do that?
At the minute, you can reach me on Facebook, facebook.com/
Okay. We'll put the links in rather than try and do that.
Okay. So you can reach me on Facebook, and then in the coming weeks I'm going to be running a series of experiments, like I alluded to in the episode. Those experiments, I'm doing them for me. I'm not really doing them for anybody else, but if you want to take part, they will be on my website, which will be my name as a domain name. I'll put it on Facebook when that's ready to go live, and that's how. Right. I'd like to think I'm an open book. If you reach out to me, provided Facebook doesn't filter it, if you reach out to me and I see it, I make every effort to respond.
Yeah, I can true that, because you've responded to me every time I've reached out. So it's always been there. It's a taker. How do I do this? So yeah, it's easy, mate. Just do this. Yeah. Okay.
Like I say, it's like, if I want to do cool shit with cool people, I can't start putting barriers up and stopping people from getting in touch with me. Mm. I may be so busy that if you send me a message, I don't see it for like a month, 2 months, but when I do see it, I will make the effort to respond. And when I respond, I will apologize for the length of time it's taking me to respond.
Oh, well, there we are. So we are born into this world, and you know, we grow up as children, but effectively we are animals on the planet Earth. And we explore that process of life, and then, you know, we have families, we do things, and eventually we leave. And just like every other animal on the earth. But humans have a different quality about us. We have this thing about we ask why and what's it all for and what is the purpose of life. The Tega, for you, at this point in your life, what's it all about? What's the purpose of it?
It comes down to freedom and experience, or experience and freedom, if you want to be alphabetically correct. It comes down to experience and freedom. Experience in the sense that, like you say, if we say that we are just smart animals, we can communicate with each other, we can use technology to our advantage, then it becomes a case of, okay, we all get one life to lead. Why would anybody not want to experience as much of what life has to offer? And if you're going to decide you want to experience as much of what life has to offer, then you need to put yourself, or you need to get yourself into the state whereby you're doing that for you. You give yourself the freedom to do that for you, so that whenever the critics, whenever the naysayers, and whenever the haters all pipe up because you're doing things that they may want to do, but they don't have the courage to do, you can still press on regardless, because you're going to get criticized for whatever you do. I don't think there's anybody on this planet that is universally loved. Mother Teresa had haters. Elon Musk, like you say, has his haters. Gary Vee has his haters. Donald Trump, love him or hate him, he's doing what he wants to do in life, right? But most people don't take the responsibility. And even if they do take the responsibility, 9 out of 10 times, they all give up at the first hurdle. But like you say, life should be an experience. My words, not yours. Life should be an experience that you go after wholeheartedly, hurdles or no hurdles. And if you are going to do that, you have to understand that life is hard. There are going to be times when you don't feel like doing anything. There are going to be times when you don't feel like getting out of bed in the morning. There are going to be times when you don't feel like going on your morning run. There are going to be times when you don't feel like going to the gym. There are going to be times when you don't feel like talking to clients. What makes us different is actually going ahead and doing that anyway, because that's where growth happens. And that's where you learn the most about yourself, whenever you do the things you don't feel like doing.
I can't say any fairer than that. If that's the meaning of life, it's a much better answer than 42.
What's the whole 42 thing?
It's a generational thing. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was a book that was out in the 80s.
Got you.
And they created a big supercomputer to determine the meaning of life, and the answer was 42.
Well, I guess you can say it's much better than 42, but in some ways, I think man's search for meaning is man's search for himself, in my opinion. Some of us realize that our search for meaning is our search for ourselves, whereas others think that search for meaning, they find answers in different ways. I guess you could say, like, this is getting a little bit humanist.
I think you touched on a valid point, and it's worth exploring it, because the point is, some people find meaning in faith, in religion.
Yeah.
And that's, they grew up with that, and that's the thing they followed. And if anything, religion was developed out of man's desire for understanding the greater need and greater purpose. And as we've become more knowledgeable and intellectual, and, you know, understood more about the world, then religion has reduced its significance, because you can no longer explain God made that anymore, because now you know how it works.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what's happened. So we are now moving into that humanist type thing. And there's a desire, a built-in need to understand. But we all find an answer for that from ourselves. So is there anything else you'd like to add or say that, you know, I haven't asked you that I should have done?
The only thing that I can think to say in this particular moment is, if you are listening to this episode, and if you are maybe struggling with where you are in life and how things are going, stop thinking and just do something. Right, stop thinking and just do something. Chances are, whenever you shut off that the analytical side of your brain that's keeping you stuck, and you start doing stuff, you open up yourself to figuring out what you want to do. If you don't figure out what you want to do, the next best thing is figuring out what you don't want to do. And like I alluded to earlier on in this discussion, if life is about experiences, you can best be guaranteed that there are a whole ton of experiences out there in the world that you haven't gone through, or you haven't even thought about. So just by starting to do something, you put yourself one step ahead of where you are currently, because you either figure out what you want to do or you figure out exactly what you don't want to do. And if you know what you don't want to do, it's easier to figure out what you want to do, because you're not going to do what you don't want to do again. Simples.
There's that very old, I think it might be on YouTube or something, about the professor talking to the students at the end of their education. And he says, people ask me what they should do with their lives. My advice to you is get a piece of paper, and on the left-hand side, write down all the things that you don't like. And on the right-hand side, write all the things that you do like. And my advice to you is to stay on the right side of the page.
Cool. And even if you feel like you don't even if you feel like you don't know what you don't want to, what you don't like or what you like, action changes things.
It does. Get out of the head and do something is always good.
Precisely. Action changes things, and I guess that's the core message I'm trying to get out there. Action changes things. Stop being a bystander watching your life go by. Go do something. Go, even if, like, for example, I say I don't like morning routines, and you want to try a morning routine, go try one, because only in trying one will you figure out what you want to make part of your morning routine and what you don't want to make part of your morning routine.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, Tiger, look, I think you and I could prattle on for a while, because I'm really enjoying this conversation. I could settle in for the afternoon, but I think we do need to wind it up and come to a sensible conclusion. So thank you so much for your time and being candid with me today. It has been a real pleasure to unveil a little bit more about you and hear more about your story.
Thank you very much for making time to speak with me, giving me a chance to unveil a little bit more about myself and my story.
All the best. Thanks a lot.
Right. Enjoy the rest of your day, sir.
Cheers. And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Tiger Diagbe. As ever, with all of my guests, their details appear on the webpage, lifepassionandbusiness.com, underneath their podcast. For Tiger, Facebook is the place to find him, and there's a link to his profile on the webpage itself. So I've been exploring my own processes and systems that I use. Now, the next few weeks, I'll be making some short podcasts to explore these processes and what's working for me now. The first will be on morning routines. So if you want to catch that podcast, I suggest you push the subscribe and follow button on your app, because then you'll get updates when it becomes published. I want to thank you for your support. I've recently discovered that this podcast is growing nicely, and that is in part totally thanks to the listeners that are following us. So if you are on iTunes, you can support us further by liking and commenting, as iTunes is the primary kind of go-to place in the podcast world, and it's those ratings that sustain our kind of continued rise up the charts, for want of a better word. So if you can support us there, that's wonderful. If you could actually put a like, a comment, or better still, a review, it would help enormously. What it does, the platforms show us to more people if more people react to our content. So it's kind of a win-win if you do this for us. Anyway, we don't get seen without your help, basically. So thank you in advance. If you can find the time to that, it will be much appreciated. So it remains for me to say thank you for your time and attention, and I will catch you later.